Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking. Walking, walking. If I keep on walking, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking, walking shoes. Hey, I tell you when you got a made up mind. The winter feels like summertime, in the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times I'm half the time, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way. Step three, step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes.
Walking to a promise. Walking to a better land. I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet, but I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking,
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto thy precious name, O Yahweh. Abba Yah, we thank you, Father, for the blessing of life, for the blessing of health, for the blessing of strength, Father. We thank you, Father, for being loving and kind enough, Father, to answer our prayer, Father. We got some good news that our beloved Ema, Father, is breathing on her own once again, Father, and that she is alert, Father, and that she is ready to go home. Hallelujah, Father. Father, you said through one of your servants that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss, Father. We're not specific with our prayer, but Father, in this situation, we were all very specific about our prayer. That your angels, Father, that your spirit, Father, hover above our Ema, that you, Father, as the one who created the body, Father, and knows all of its inner workings, Father, down to the very cell, Father, that you were able to heal her, Father, by your strength, by your might, by your spirit, Father. And we thank you, Father. We lift our voices up and praise you and say hallelujah, Father, for the healing that you have brought to our beloved Ema, Father. And we pray once again to behold her precious face, Father, as we soon, hopefully, Father, start to gather once again, Father, as the weather starts to get warmer, Father. Father, look after all of your sons and your daughters, your children, Father, whom you have called out, Father, throughout all of Beth Yahweh, Father, throughout the entire earth, Father, and whatever may be afflicting every one of them, whatever it is, Father, that as they cry out to you, Father, and ask you, Father, specifically because your son said that whatever we ask in his name, that you will grant, Father. So, Father, whatever it is, Father, we ask that you humble our souls, Father, that we cry out to you for whatever it is that we want, Father. Healing, Father, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, Father. And that we ask specifically what it is for what we want, Father, because we know that you are a good Father. And, Father, you will grant it as you see it fit, Father. Just like you said in your word through that angel, that Daniel, the day you set forth your face to me, your prayer was answered. But we know, Father, that war goes on, an unseen war sometimes, Father, in the heavens, Father. And sometimes our prayers get delayed, Father, but we know by testimony of your word through your servant Daniel, Father, that you answer those prayers, Father. They sometimes get delayed because we war not against flesh and blood, but the principalities and the powers of darkness in high places, Father. But we know, Father, that you and your angels, Father, that your heavenly hosts, Father, are mightier than any of those dark forces, Father. But we have to walk, talk, and believe, Father, that you are on our side, Father. So, Father, we thank you once again, Father, for all that you have done for us. And, Father, we thank you for every precious moment that you have given to us, Father. We thank you for that, Father. And for all those times that we forget to thank you, forgive us, Father, for forgetting the mercy, the grace, and the kindness that you have bestowed upon us every day, Father. Father, we thank you for the lesson that you gave us last night through your servant Shebael, Father. We thank you for that word, Father. We thank you for that testimony that he gave us, Father. And for all my brothers and sisters, Father, I pray now that your spirit reside with us as the door of the Shabbat has opened now for several hours, Father, and that we invited you in, Father, to sup with us, to dine with us, and, Father, to commune with us, Father. So we ask, Father, now that you continue to commune with us, Father, that you open our hearts, you open our minds, Father, and you open our souls, Father, so that we are fertile soil to receive your word, Father. We ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah. It's your brother Ahav all once again. And this is a blog talk called Elohim. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And from good old Baltimore, USA, and Maryland, and father, and family, and friends, let's get into his word. Let's get into his word. Toda, Aki, Toda, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, before you even ask, he answers. Hallelujah, Toda, Aki. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Yahweh, our master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Yahweh, our master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And that was from Psalms 8, family. And Yahweh just placed that on my heart as I was getting ready to represent him today in his word. And was listening to a song last night after the lesson, and it was a beautiful song. And it was my meditation last night. And as I, again, was making my final preparations to talk with my family today, Abba said, well, why you think I brought that song to your attention last night so that you could just forget about it? No, he said, I want you to share that with your brothers and sisters. That, you know, one of my favorite songs when I was out there, it's still my one of my favorite songs, His Eyes on the Sparrow. And that little tiny bird, Abba is aware of everything that little tiny bird does. So if his eye is on that sparrow, well, I know his eye is on me, because I am in the pinnacle of his creation, as this word says, to the extent that he entrusted everything that he created unto mankind. So that means man has to have been special to him. For him to say, mankind, I'm going to entrust this to you. Now we see what we have done with it. We have proved ourselves in many ways to be untrustworthy with his creation. And sadly to say, Yisrael has proved themselves in many ways to be entrusted with what he gave to creation, to God creation. That is his word, that Torah. But at the end of the day, Abba is merciful. He's loving, he's kind, and he's willing to suffer long until man can get himself right. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. What benefits are there, or is there, in serving Yahweh? What is the purpose of walking this walk, of living this life? Why forsake everything? Family, friends, good times, or seemingly good times in the world. Why? Why do that? But he says in his word that there are benefits to doing this. And we're going to talk about that today, family. We are going to talk about that today. But first, let's read something really quickly, family. We're going to go to St. John, 15th chapter. And he says this, these are the words of our master, our mighty one, our savior, our redeemer. He says in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Let me repeat that. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. 15:16. Ye have not chosen me. It wasn't your choice. But I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So we see right there, he says, Abba is the husband, he is the vine. He is the source of life. His Father is the one that does the work within the source of the life of Yahushua and those who are connected to him. So when you think of anything that bears fruit, and it's so funny because we, mankind, has gotten so educated that he has divided things into fruits and vegetables, right? Fruits and vegetables. There's fruits and vegetables, like they're two separate things. But in all essence, Abba only defines it all as fruit. He don't categorize it, these are fruits, these are vegetables. No, he said, all these things that bear seed, I consider them fruit. Now, granted, some may be peppers, some may be tomatoes, which they're still on the fence. Is tomato a fruit or is tomato a vegetable? He's got squash, he's got pumpkin, he's got watermelon, he's got cantaloupe, he's got pineapple. He's got cherries. He's got strawberries. He's got all sorts of stuff. Onions. Potatoes. The mankind has gotten so educated and so sedity that he needs to define these and categorize things the way he sees fit. But Abba says, if it bears fruit and it comes from the ground, if it has seeds rather, and it comes from the ground, I call it fruit. And when we think about that process, it's so funny because woke up this morning and I see there was some communication on one of the text lines. And it just so happened that Zakane brought forth a few statements via text. And he didn't even know that's what we was going to be talking about in part today. Hallelujah. So that was testimony to me. Because, of course, you know, you always struggle with, Abba, is this what you want me to talk about? And then you get that one testimony from somebody who, to be quite frank, I haven't communicated with in a while. My bad on that. So he and I definitely didn't communicate about what it is that I would talk about today or how Abba would lead his lesson today. But it's about the process of fruit. And that, in part, is one of the benefits of serving Yahweh, being his fruit, being part of that thing that bears the seed of life. Whether you're called to be a teacher, whether you're called, whatever you are called to do, if you are called into the truth and you are connected to Yahushua HaMashiach, and you are connected to his word, you have the word of life in you, planted within you. Now, granted, as we've seen by example of the scripture, everybody doesn't have the same role within the body. But as you are connected and are part of the body, you now have the seed of life, that word within you. Going to Psalms, family, Psalms 103. And this was supposed to be the crux of what Abba had me talk about today, because he just had me in good feelings this week. good vibe. And it could be because, you know, I'll be willing, you know, in a couple more hours, you know, I'll reach another year if he so wills it. If not, I have today, and I have his word and his Shabbat and his son for this moment. But if he does grant me to see another year of life, hallelujah, I'll be 51, Torah, Abba Yah. But anyway, but he had me feeling good this week, just feeling good and just in a good mood with him, and just him talking to him and just feeling his spirit around me. Psalms 103 says, a psalm of David. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And when I stop there and reading, it's like Abba said, nope, stop right there. Benefits. And I thought back, you know, to when I was out there looking for a job. And one of the things that I really wanted, because I was unemployed when my first child was expected. And one of the things that I prayed to Abba about was that, you know, I would find a job with good benefits, good health care benefits, so that I didn't have to worry about, you know, anything with my child and then growing, you know, to having children. But one of the things I thought about was, you know, benefits. So obviously my mind looked at this word benefits, and I thought about it from, you know, the Webster's, you know, dictionary definition of benefit, you know, something that is advantageous or good, an advantage, you know. I thought about it from that perspective. But Abba said, no, what do I mean when I say through my servant, Dawid, I have benefits? So let's take a look at it, family. Let's take a look at what he means. We're going to stop right there for a second. And what does he mean in Psalms 103:2 when he says, forget not all his benefits? All right. And if you have your study tools with you, it's in the Strong's, the Hebrew section, 1576. And the word is gemul. And it says it's from 1580. Treatment, that is an act of good or ill. And we're going to talk about or ill. By implication, service or requital. As has served, benefit, desert, deserving that which he has given, recompense, reward. And I want to look at, you know, want to look at the word requital real quick, family, so that requital. How do you spell it again? Excuse me, family. Requital. Oh, yeah. All right. Requital, right? And of course, it says an act of requiting, right? Requiting, to make repayment or return for service benefits, right? To make retaliation, to make return a person for service benefits, to retaliate on a person, group, for wrong, injury, to give or do in return. So when you think in the terms of what we talked about last week, of Abba being on our side, so he works for our good, but for the enemy, he works in the opposite. He works for our good, but to those who wish to do harm towards us, towards him also, and us, he does the opposite. He brings them harm. He repays them for trying to harm one of his little children or even bring harm to him. But with him, just like any good parents, you mess with me, you mess with my child, right? So now let's look at the embedded word in there, Hebrews 15:80 in the Strong's, right? And that word is gamal, a primitive root, to treat a person well or ill, that is benefit or requite, by implication of toil to ripen. And we're going to stop right there. To ripen. That is specifically to wean, bestow on, deal bountifully, do good, recompense, requite, reward, ripen, serve, wean, yield. And when we think about to ripen, and when we think about in the terms of what was stated, one plants, one waters, but Yah gives the increase. What is that increase? But for that seed now to sprout, once that seed sprouts, it brings forth a stalk, which then brings forth branches, right? That which eventually yields fruit. But once the fruit starts to come out, and for those of us who have been planting, we see a brother right now, old brother Baruch, he's doing some planting, some potatoes and some onions. I hope we get some, bruh, right? But we don't just put it in the ground and it automatically just is ready. We don't put that seed in the ground and it's automatically ready for us to partake of the fruit that it's going to offer. There's a process that has to take place, right? There is a work that has to be done in order for that seed then to become something that nourishes the body. And as was broken down, it first has to die. That seed has to perish. That shell has to dissolve, has to fade away. But then what brings forth life inside then has to go through its process of taking root. Well, first breaking through that shell, then taking root. It starts to go in two opposite directions. One part of it goes down. Another part of it goes towards the surface. And as it breaks through the surface, it's not ready yet. It's actually very tender. It's in its most vulnerable state at that point. Because at that point, and think about the parable of the seed sower, what happens? There's spirits lurking about. That's what the birds pointed to, right? Starts to break forth and is very tender. It needs for that husbandman. It needs for that guardian of it, because that's what the husbandman is, to watch over it, to ensure that it doesn't succumb to one, the predators. That's what the birds point to. They're predators in that situation. The elements, because he talks about the sun. So that husbandman has to also protect it from the harmful elements of nature that Abba Yah is in control of solely. But that husbandman has to put forth his effort in order to bring forth precious life that is coming from the earth. And if this is what he is depending on for his food or his livelihood, this is very important that he is diligent in his task. He ain't just growing it to grow it. We're talking about somebody who is a farmer, somebody who this is his life source, which we have gotten so far removed from. Did have to have a conversation with my other Zakim, and we talked about this. Homesteading, living solely off of the land, which man has gotten so far removed from in so many regards that he has no idea how to survive outside of the supermarket. If it's not provided for him via man's doing, he has no idea how to grab some dirt, grab some seed, and to allow life to come forth from it the way Abba intended. So we see the importance of the husband. But then again, then the stalk has to sprout out, comes up out of the ground. Then the leaves start to come forth. Then after the leaves start to come forth, then the little areas where the fruit comes from starts to sprout. But then again, you can't just pick it as it starts to sprout. You have to wait for some time for it to ripen, for it to become. And let's look up the term ripen. What does that mean? To be ripe. To bring or come to maturity, the proper condition. To have arrived at such a stage of growth or development as to be ready for reaping, gathering, eating, or use as grain or fruit completely matured. So when we think about that word gamal and what it means, and when the psalmist understood, when the prophet David understood that one of the benefits is that he ripens you, that he nurtures you, that he gives you all the nutrients and the vitamins and the minerals that he needs through the word, that now you become to a point where you become useful. I had two experiences this week, and I shared them with my brother. My wife went shopping last week and bought some pears and some avocados. And I love pears, and I eat an avocado just about every day. And hadn't eaten. So when the groceries come in, I'm about to unpack the groceries. I'm like, bam, oh yeah, pears, avocado. I'm about to tan one of these, right? As a matter of fact, went to tan of both of them. Grabbed the pear out, washed it off, bit into it, and it crunched. Now, apples are supposed to crunch. Pears, when they are ripe, are not supposed to crunch. It had no flavor in it, and it was a chore to eat. But I was greedy at the time. Didn't even check to see if it was ready to be eaten at that point. And it wasn't. But I ate it because I was hungry. But it was hard to eat. And the thing about a good pear, any good piece of fruit, when it's in its right stage, whatever your favorite fruit is, my all-time favorite fruit is cherries. Can't wait for cherry season to come back. And I love gobbling up them sweet, juicy cherries. Another funny story I'm sharing with y'all. There were some cherries that were brought to the house. Like, ooh, cherries at this time, in the middle of winter? Bit into one and came to realize that somebody had found them somewhere in his cellar and decided he wasn't going to let them go to waste. They sucked. They were the worst. Out of season, you could tell that they had been frozen, sitting somewhere, bit into it, and it was just awful, awful tasting, overripe. You could tell it had been refrigerated. Terrible. Bit one and just spit it right out. So again, bit into the pear, and the pear, when a pear, a ripe pear, the skin is supposed to be soft. When you bite into it, no resistance, it's juicy, juices dripping all on the side of your mouth, right? So I said, all right, well, maybe the avocado, I'll go have me an avocado. Cut into the avocado, same thing. Felt the resistance. Usually, a good ripe avocado, you could take a spoon, scoop it right out, eat it, no problem. Nothing there. Resistance, resistance, resistance. Wasn't ready for it. It wasn't in its season. It wasn't ripe. It wasn't mature. It wasn't at that point where it was ready to be eaten. But I had to find that out the hard way because I was hungry and lost control. Just ready to gobble it up. But it wasn't ready. But I learned a valuable lesson in that. And in reading this psalm, now Abba gave me an understanding of why he even compares us to that fruit. And we're going to see that because that's what we're going to talk. We're going to talk about that for a little bit and then get back to the rest of the song. So before I go there, let's read 103:2 again. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, how he ripens us, how he matures us, how he brings us to that stage of where we become useful to him. And we're going to see that. Matthew's 7, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. I'm going to be jumping back and forth because I just think right now King James Version is sounding throughout all these scriptures. Matthew 7, we're going to read from 17 to 19. He says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, he up beforehand was talking to talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's talking about the difference between them and his children and those who are connected to him. So again, 717. Sorry, I didn't want to give you some background information. Even so, good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, what fruits is he talking about? Well, we should know. The fruits of the Spirit. We're going to go into that. What are the fruits of the Spirit? How is this maturity being manifest in each one who is connected to the vine, which is under the care of the husbandman, right? 2 Timothy 2:6, family. About to say 16. 2 Timothy 2:6. Matter of fact, I'm going to start at 2:1. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Yahushua HaMashiach, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Yahushua HaMashiach. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man, 2:5, also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the master give thee understanding of all things. So when he says the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit, isn't Abba the husbandman? And shouldn't he be the one to partake of us? As he sustains us, as he provides for us, as he ripens us. Because even in that chastening sometimes, even in that laying us down sometimes, even in that humbling us sometimes, that is because he loves us. He says he chastens those that he loves. And that is part of the pruning process. That is part of the development. And if you understand what the point of pruning is, and my brother Deuel was the one who hit me to this, that if you have those dead branches or those dying branches, if you don't pick them off, then the stalk keeps putting energy towards that dead or dying branch. And it starts to suck energy from the good branches, from the good leaves. So the reason why you purge and why you prune it is in order so that the energy is being directed towards where it's most needed, where it's most suitable to go. So oftentimes what happens with us, because we get so caught up in all these different things, we have all our concerns all over the place, we forget where to properly put our focus and our energy. So this is why sometimes Abba has to prune us, purge us, whether it's of things within us or things without us or outside of us. Sometimes he has to bring us through that painful process of breaking things away from us. So that way we can get the energy that we need focused in the right area. And sometimes this pruning and this purging is painful. End of the day, it's always for our benefit and for the benefit of the life that we have with him. What is more important and more precious than that? If you really think about it at the end of the day, out of all that you have in your life, what relationship, what interaction, what situation or circumstance is more important than anything else? Because at the end of the day, when you close your eyes, you close them by yourself. And when you come into the reality of life on the other side, there's only one individual that's going to be waiting for you. And that is he who created you. But does it mean that we totally seclude ourselves and sequester ourselves from everybody and everything? Absolutely not. That's not what it's saying. And that's definitely not what I'm saying, but we have to keep it all in perspective. Keep it all in focus. Our energies, where it is most beneficial to us as an individual and our relationship with our Heavenly Father. James, Brother Yaakov, James 5:7. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Master. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early, and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Master draweth nigh. Grudge not one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Master, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Master, that the Master is very pitiful and tender mercies. Talk about what we learned from Job's life. That at the end of the day, he pitied Job. Job went through his thing, but at the end of the day, he pitied Job and he rewarded Job tenfold for all that he had suffered. So this is what he's saying. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Master, that the Master is very pitiful and tender mercy. But above all things, 5:12, James 5:12, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So maturity and rightness of speech. Just don't be out there talking and jabbing. Isn't that what he also says in the same very same book? Bridle that tongue. It's like the rudder of a ship, the smallest part of the ship, but it directs that huge ship on where to go. He says it can kindle a fire. So one of the things that comes with maturity and rightness of spirit is being very aware of what you say out your mouth. And he says right here, yes, yes, no, no. Doesn't mean that everything requires just a yes and no answer. You always got to keep it in perspective. But at the end of the day, be mindful of what you say, how you say it, and sometimes even how long you get to jabbing about stuff. And with that, I'm going to move on to the next set of scriptures. Galatians 5, starting at 5:22. Galatians 5:22, family. I'm going to start at 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, 5:21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, all that we see going on in the streets, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. But 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And as we talked earlier in some of the lessons, there is no law that says thou shalt not show too much meekness, thou shalt not show too much love, thou shalt not show too much gentleness, thou shalt not show too much goodness, thou shalt not show too much peace. There's nothing that says that. And again, keeping it all in perspective. 5:24, Galatians 5:24. And they that are Mashiachs have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Ephesians 5:9. Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving with it acceptable unto the Master. So when we talk about this maturing, when we talk about that fruit that he is looking for, that fruit that we are, and it's us being that mature fruit. And how do we show forth our maturity? By how well we yield to the fruits of the Spirit. How much do we yield to love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness? If we consider our nature, if I consider my nature from the past, I have been very, and still at times, am very unlike Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So I still have a lot of ripening. I still have a lot of maturity. I still have a lot of things that Abba has to work with me on in order so that I can be, as 2 Timothy 2:6 said, worthy of the labor of the husbandman when he partakes of me as fruit. I don't want to be a crunchy old pear, and I don't want to be an old, soggy, laid around cherry. I want that when he savors me, that I am a sweet taste to his mouth. That I don't just look like a piece of fruit that looks good on the outside, but on the inside, I'm not worthy of what the husbandman or the effort that the husbandman has put forth. Back to Psalms 103, family. And once I finish out 103, that will be it. The end of the lesson for the day, family. Back to Psalms 103. A Psalm of David. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. Barki nafshi et Adonai. Barki nafshi et Yahweh. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah! Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Ema's been extirpated. Hallelujah. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Yahweh executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Do we see that, fam? That's another part of the benefits. That we have taken for granted. I was talking with my brother the other day about how 40 years, because when you look into the book of, when you start reading the book of Joshua, and as they're about to take the land, and I believe the second time when they encounter Rahab, Rahab said, we heard about your God, and we scared of y'all. We know what your God can do. And you think about it, it was 40 years and 11, almost 41 years at that point, because I believe either Deuteronomy Deuteronomy begins with it. It's 40 years and 11 months they had been in the wilderness. So that means it's 40 years plus removed from when Yahweh put his stamp on the gods of Egypt, parted the sea, when he led them by night by fire, when he led them by day by a pillar of cloud. All the nations heard of this while they were wandering around in the wilderness. So while he had them wandering around in the wilderness, his reputation was spreading to all these other nations, to Jericho, to Ai. Bashan and all these nations, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all these nations whose land that he was about to give, they heard of us coming in the name of our God. And they were shook by it. They were shook. The people of Jericho walled themselves in. When you go back and you read the story, the people of Jericho were so afraid of Yahweh, and they said, we're going to shut ourselves in to protect ourselves from. But did it work? No, it did not. But they had heard about the reputation of how Egypt, the world's mightiest power of that day, were brought low before the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That mighty nation was never the same after Yahweh redeemed his children, his armies out of there. And the people heard about it. Because remember, famine in the land, everybody went to Egypt. That didn't change after that situation with Yahweh. Whenever there was a problem, people said, we know Egypt got it good. We're going to go down into Egypt. Why? Because they were the world superpower at that time. And we still see the remnants of it to this day. That's a marvelous feat. Marvelous feat. And Yahweh made sure he preserved some of it just to let y'all know that my word is still true. That they can't totally eradicate what I have done. But anyway, 103:7. He made known his ways unto Moshe, his acts unto the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so Yahweh pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. 103:19. Yahweh hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless Yahweh, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye Yahweh, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless Yahweh, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. Just one other reading, family. Jeremiah, third chapter. And this is what our people at large lack in understanding. Starting at Jeremiah 3:1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith Yahweh, to his children, to this community out there that is suffering, that is relying on all of these sources to bring forth their comfort, which they cannot. Jeremiah 3:2, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lean with, in the ways thou hast sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there have been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be shamed. 3:4. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the God of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. He's talking about our people. They doing all the evil that they can. Now killing men isn't enough. Now we got to kill the women and children too, the elderly alike. It's because bloodlust is in our being. 3:6. Yahweh said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? Every night we watch the news, we see what backsliding Israel is. Nobody's safe. Nobody. Unless you're protected by the Most High. She is gone up upon every high mountain and every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. So those who praise Yah see what Israel is doing, and they not repenting. They are not correcting Israel for what they are doing out there, because they wrong. And Israel needs correction. But don't worry. Correction is coming to Yisrael. For all those who think they need to be coddled and babified, correction is coming. Because if you don't hear the voices of the teachers and the preachers and the mores, guess what? He got to send somebody else with a fierce countenance. And it's coming. Trust and believe the word of Yahweh. It's coming to old backsliding Israel. And he ain't going to pity for those who don't want to get right. He's not. 3:8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Yehuda, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. That means Judah, Yehuda, those who praised Yah, joined in with Yisrael and her foolishness. 3:9, it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land, while we have blight in the cities, while we have abandoned home on top of abandoned home, abandoned lot upon on top of abandoned lot, while we look like a war zone in our communities. Because she defiled the land and committed adultery. So don't start getting soft on her. And it came to pass through the likeness of a whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Yehuda hath not returned unto me with her whole heart. But feignedly saith Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto me, the backsliding Israel had justified herself more than treacherous Yehuda. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against Yahweh, thy mighty one, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahweh. O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married to you. So being that husbandman isn't just a metaphor, it isn't just about the farmer, or maybe an allegory, forgive me, I'm old, been out of English class for a long time, so forgive me if I get it wrong, but hopefully y'all know what I'm saying. So when he says husbandman, he's not just talking about the farmer, he's talking about he is literally married to Yisrael. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, and this is what I love, family, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Well, just think about this. If you are not the only one in your family that is in the truth, you are blessed by this. If you are not the only one from Baltimore or New York City that is in this truth, or from whatever state you're from, whether you've got brothers in Delaware, we got brothers in Philly. If you're not the only one from your family or from your city, you are truly blessed. And if you are the only one, you are beyond blessed. And he says this, 3:14 again. Turn, O backsliding children, save Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you out of a city, two out of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith Yahweh, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither there shall be done any more. Psalms 81. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto our mighty one, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the mighty one of Yaakov. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed of our solemn feast. For this was a statute for Israel and a Torah of the mighty one of Yaakov. This he ordained in Yosef for a testimony, which he went through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Yisrael, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange mighty one be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the mighty one. I am Yahweh, thy mighty one, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of Yahweh should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. So family, ending with that scripture. Stay attached to the vine. Stay attached to the husbandman. Renew the spirit, the fruits of the spirit within your being, and be that good and savory fruit to Yah. Let's be unlike what we see these people in the world doing, family. And let's submit ourselves unto him, because he needs a mature harvest. And as we're going into that time of the year, he is looking for what one has planted and what one has watered so that he can bring forth an increase. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Toda Abaya for the blessing of life this day. Toda Abaya for the blessing of your word. Toda Abaya for correction, Father. Toda Abaya for purging and pruning. Toda Abaya for not casting us from off the vine. Toda Abaya for still nourishing us, for still giving us, Father, what we need, Father, in order to be like you, and more importantly, to be like your son who lived and died to set an example for how we should conduct our lives, Father. Father, ripen us, Father. Mature us, Father. Bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, Father, in all of our lives, Father. Let us not forget mercy, joy, love, meekness, temperance, Father. Help us, Father, to bridle our tongues, Father. Help us to bring every one of these negative thoughts that are against you and against your people, Father, into captivity, Father. Strengthen us, Father, when we are weak. Uphold us, Father, when we are weary. Father, thank you for continuing always, Father, to answer our prayers, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to heal any one of us, Father, who is suffering mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Father, as we pray to you, Father, Father, if we forget to be specific, Father, in our prayer towards you, Father, lead us and guide us, Father, as the word says, where you intercede with groanings, Father. We ask, Father, in all these things, that you look upon us with mercy and loving kindness, and that we look upon each other with mercy and loving kindness, Father, and forget not our own faults that we have an abundance of, Father, as the scriptures say, looking at the splinter in your brother's eye, but not looking at the mote. So, Father, just ask now, Father, that as we depart on the rest of the Shabbat day, that you give your spirit to the next teacher, which I believe is my brother, Deuel, and that you open up his mind, Father, and that you open up his mouth, Father, and that you continue to strengthen him as you have been strengthening him, Father, to stand upon his own once again, Father. I pray for all my sisters. I pray for my Zakanes. I pray for my Zakanas. I pray, Father, that your covering and your angel's wings be around us and surround us within our hedge, Father. And as the sheep that we are of your pasture, that whenever we need the rod of correction because we have gone astray, Father, that you bring us back into the fold. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom.
Sit back in these days, remember my ways, hold me like it's out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave, searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom. So I'm tender, sing them songs to spark memory. What is a man with no history? Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? In space, I will be light.
Oh, yo, 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 yo.
Burn away the darkness, you got.